numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by DraftKings here at Bar Canada at the D. Downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Yeah.
What's happening, man? You good?
I'm doing great.
Got that schedule fever?
Yeah, man. Actually, I'm just really... I forgot to send you... I thought I sent you a video yesterday, which I'm now really frustrated I didn't.
Kelly, I spent the 90 seconds prior to the broadcast today telling me about this thing he sent me yesterday. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I sent it to someone else.
Yeah. Not me. On the show today, we will talk about a smattering of things. Zach Cohen on tennis. He's got a thought on the NBA draft. He's got a thought on the first overall pick.
Yes, he does.
Which I did not expect to see coming this morning. Nick Whalen on the NBA. Jonathan Davis will join us to talk hockey. Is he in studio or on table with us? Do we know?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Adam Burke. Now, that's a get right there. We'll talk baseball. We'll update the Guardians with him as I steal the Guardians for one more month. We'll do all that. We will also have Steve Fezzik will be on the show tomorrow, but Steve Fezzik has made all of his week one NFL plays. We will share those with you.
All of them? He's stopping after today?
No, he's not stopping. I don't think he was aware that DraftKings put out week after week of NFL lines. So I think he was just locked into week one.
This is a little bit what we were talking about yesterday, though. Just the order some of us have all gotten used to, right? The schedule of when things are get posted odds-wise, when these releases happen.
Yeah.
We all kind of have to reset our processes.
Well, so here's the deal on schedule release. Again, I always refer to NFL draft day as Christmas for adults. This is kind of like... I don't know. What's the holiday equivalent? President's Day schedule release. It's awesome because from a betting perspective, it gives us the ability to sort of plan bets. Let me explain. Can we throw up the Trip Tepper tweet, by the way? Trip Tepper tweeted this yesterday, and I just wanted to start with this because it sort of explains the brief history of a numbers game with these kinds of schedule releases. Trip Tepper said, ANG has really altered my approach to NFL with total betting, with season win total betting. I'd rather bet in-season adjusted win totals or look to the alt-win market this summer. I look for under 90% of the time, not sure the schedule release will trigger even a single win totals bet for me this week. Now, what he means by that is I, for many years on both the Betting Dork podcast and the Beating the Book podcast, and then the early days of a numbers game, talked about this stock market-like vehicle that I used to bet into, this off-the-grid stock market-like vehicle. I won't give you the name of the financial institution that is no longer with us, but it rhymes with Schmiemann Schmrothers. And they used to do...
I was going
to
say, pretty sure you've said it multiple times on air before, but okay.
And they used to do something over there that was very back, back of the office, that was not legal, but it was the most heavily participated in betting vehicle you could possibly imagine nationwide on this. And it was essentially before adjusted season win totals were offered in season. Remember, these are only adjusted season win totals in the NFL is only like a 3 or 4 year thing. Yeah. Before that, we had to do it in back rooms and it was Wall Street style. Anyway, 1 year I was like the biggest winner. 1 year I was one of the biggest losers. Like it was very volatile, but it was awesome. We did it in football pro in college. And then you'll remember, Kelly, that the first, remember primetime action when we did it, books didn't really get how to price it when they first started it 3-4 years ago. So you'll remember there was a Broncos win week one of an NFL season. So they had a whole pre-flop season win total for months before the season. They then won a week one game that they were favored in, and DraftKings adjusted their season win total by 3 full games. And I was like, you got to bet under on this. This is not how this is supposed to work with pricing.
Is that 2 years ago?
It's like three years ago.
I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday.
We all bet it.
We bet it. Yeah.
We all bet and we cashed it easily. So this is the deal with these. So it's fun to talk about, but the reason we talk about it is to then sort of plan where we might bet. So let's just, you did a great job with these, Kelly. So before the release came yesterday, we already knew the opponents of each team. And so we already knew based on season win totals, who had the toughest schedules, who had the easiest schedules before we knew the sequencing. Let's do the easiest first. The Atlanta Falcons, we already knew, Kelly, to have the easiest schedule in all of football. A lot of that has to do with the division in which they play, the NFC South. But now we know, based on yesterday's release, how it sort of breaks down. And how it breaks down is that they have a really sort of tough first three games, and then it opens up. So let me be specific about those three games. So if you're thinking about Falcons bets, the point of this, and we'll get to this, it'll become more apparent when we go to other teams, but the Falcons start out home Pittsburgh, okay, but then it's at Philly, home Kansas City. So if you're thinking about going over on the Falcons, like if that's your inclination, you may want to hang out till after week three, right? After the Eagles and Chiefs games. So these are the kinds of things. That's just a brief example. This is the kind of things that we're trying to look at. You don't have to bet pre-flop. You can wait and bet adjusted season win totals at what the schedule dictates. And you know how that goes. Sometimes the schedule works out as it's supposed to. Other times it doesn't. But if you have an inclination on one of these teams over under, know where the dip is.
It's kind of like live betting, just that's in right. a game, right? Like that's you right. can circle spots of where you think you're going to be, you hope to get in. Doesn't always play out that way, right?
Right?
So you got to be okay.
If it were that easy, it'd
exactly.
be that, right.
So it's always preseason win total bets you make for a reason because you're usually a little bit more confident in these. I think you want to set. You can look for spots, and whether it's division odds, conference, it could be any kinds of futures that you're betting. What I think maybe we'll do next week is we'll go through each one of these teams a little bit more deeply like this.
Well, I want to go through the yep. other easiest ones and hardest ones. So the other easiest ones, the Chargers. Okay, that's true. It is in terms of their aggregate group of opponents, in terms of season win totals. Remember, don't do it on last year's win percentage. Do it on season win totals. The Chargers have the second easiest, but if you really break down the Chargers' schedule, it doesn't really get that super easy until the final four games. That's when they play the Bucs and the Broncos at home, at the Patriots, at the Raiders. So they finish with a really wow. easy flourish. So know that even though people are going to say they have an easy schedule, it really doesn't get super easy until then. It's not difficult until then, but that's when the easy flourish begins. So keep that in mind if you're like, oh, I want to bet the Chargers over. What's the ideal time? Bears. Boy, did Caleb Williams find himself in a great situation, not only as a number one pick in the draft with great built-in teammates, but the Bears have an easy schedule. Keep in mind they do have a three in a row late November and early December. That is the most difficult part of that schedule. And what I'm referring to there is they've got an at Lions, at Niners, at Vikings, three road games in a row, part to their schedule, followed by a home game against the Lions. So it gets difficult later. In other words, something to just note in your schedule analysis. Oh, the Bears are easy, but it does get hard later. Jets, also one of the easiest schedules in all of football with Aaron Rodgers now coming back from the Achilles injury, but know that it ends brutally. It's really easy up at the top, at the beginning, but at the end, they close with at Miami, at Jacksonville, home Rams, at Buffalo, home Miami.
Oh my gosh, that's got in-season under win total
written under.
All over it for me.
You see the exercise we're performing here, so that's the thing. Like, note that the ideal time perhaps to go under on the Jets, injuries aside, because that could throw off all of these, right? God forbid Aaron Rodgers goes down again or something like that.
Especially week five. They're doing the week five and they're not taking a bye week, going right back to play week six.
That's right.
I'm in, Gil.
London week five, and they've elected to continue to play the following week. The other fifth easiest schedule belongs to the New Orleans Saints. Again, a lot of that has to do with the division in which they play. But note that theirs starts hard. Week two, after a week one game. Week two on, it's at Dallas, home Philly, at Atlanta, at Kansas City. And then move forward a few weeks and it's at the Chargers. So there is, despite the fact that they're going to be broadcast as a very easy schedule, there is that stretch between weeks two and five, specifically where it's difficult. So you can plan, like let's say you have an inclination to bet the Saints over. Maybe you wait till after that stretch up through week five and then you bet it. We'll go through the hardest. And by the way, can I just do the one hardest? Because I think this is, of all the things that happened yesterday with the schedule release, the single biggest headline to me is the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule. I think they are the big losers of schedule release day. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who we already knew would have the toughest schedule in 2024. Did you see how their schedule broke down? There's 17 games in an NFL season. Remember that, of course. This is the janky, uneven 17 games now. So it is damn near half their schedule. But the last eight games of the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule, again, almost half of their schedule. Here are their last eight games, Kelly. This is incredible. Home Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, home Cleveland, at Philly, at Baltimore, home KC, home Bengals. You have got to be kidding me. That is the worst eight-game gauntlet I have ever witnessed in my life. We talked about how the Chiefs had a bad seven-game gauntlet, but they're the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And we said, well, if they can go 4-3, they might take it, that kind of thing. If you're the Steelers or a Steelers fan or one of these people who, again, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, Mike Tomlin has the streak going. If Mike Tomlin is going to keep the not having a losing season streak alive, they are going to have to bank a bevy of wins before they get to those final eight games. Because otherwise, it ain't happening. Not to mention that they start at Atlanta, at Denver in the elevation, and home Chargers. So it's not as if it's easy peasy to begin the season either. But those eight in a row, they're the biggest losers of schedule release day. I've never seen anything like that before.
Pretty sure it was less than 48 hours ago I said basically these exact words with you of, I'm not messing around with the Mike Tomlin magic beans this year.
That's right.
After schedule release day, if you think the Jets I've got circled for an in-season under, Steelers.
Brutal. We'll go through the other four of the toughest schedules. We'll also talk about who starts the easiest, who starts the hardest. We'll get to a whole bunch more NFL stuff and Steve Fezzik's week one plays that he's already made. Some basketball and tennis and a thought on the number one overall pick from Zach Cohen. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months, 14 of VSiN Pro Access for less than 50 cents a day. 50 cents! When you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
Promo code ANG as in a numbers game. We are slashing prices here, folks. Spring savings time over at VSiN. Got to use that promo code ANG. Get all the incredible, incredible stuff that Zachary Cohen writes about every single day up on the website.
Wow. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You would make a spectacular used car pitch,
man. Well, you know the only job I'm leaving this place for, right?
Maitre d' at a restaurant?
Oh, no, it's as soon as my man Phil Steele steps aside over at Flexio.
Over at Flexio.
Coming for his job. He just doesn't know it yet.
His name is Phil Steele? No, that's Phil Steele's the college football guy. What do you do? Phil Steele.
What's that guy's name? Flexio.
Yeah, Flexio. You'd be great at it. By the way, I just want to point this out, Kelly. I just want to brag a little bit about this. May I brag?
Phil Swift,
thank you. No relation to DeAndre. No. Or Taylor, as far as we know. The number of Elizabeths and Alyssas and Lisas who have liked my tweets over the last 24 hours. Yep. Oh, my God. It's all genuine humans. All of them. There's got to have been 150 Elizabeths and 475 Amys in the last 24 hours. Way to go, Elon Musk. So nice job.
So many Elizabeths. I'm also crushed now that I just Googled Phil Swift's name, and apparently Jerry Seinfeld's coming for that job too, apparently.
Oh, you're toast. Sorry. This is
the hell. My hopes and dreams just came crashing down.
By the way, if you think Kelly is like joking about how deflated he is right now, he's not joking. This is awful. Wow. Because he'll get it over you.
I am cheaper. I promise you I'm cheaper.
Zach Cohen joins us, everybody. He is a VSiN senior writer. You can follow him at one of the great Twitter handles there is, Betting on X. And he comes to us now, VSiN senior editor and writer, I should point out. Betting on X, he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Zach, how you doing, man?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing very well, man. I hope your clay season has been better than mine. Mine has been kind of meh, giving back some units. How about yours?
Yeah, overall, Clay season's been really good, but I've had a tougher room than I did Madrid and Monte Carlo.
I have one play today. I am on Danielle freaking Collins, +133. You can get her better, a few cents better than that right now, going up against Aryna Sabalenka a little later on. You, sir, do you have any tennis today?
I was on the wrong side of that Hubie match, which was just, you know, an out-of-body experience watching Hubie in a, you know, a break fest like that. He went up a break in that third set and just couldn't get his first serves in, so that was a tough loss. I am on a parlay a little bit later with Stefanos Tsitsipas money line with Collins +4.5. I wanted a little bit of action on both matches, but, you know, wasn't willing to lay the games with Tsitsipas or take the 2.5 with Collins. I needed a little bit more than that. But if I like something in that match, I do think that Collins is the right call. I just think the way she played against Azarenka, moving her all around the court and just really bullying her just right from the center of the court was really impressive. I think these slower conditions will also, you know, play into her favor a little bit more than they did in Madrid.
Yeah, and she is ornery. You ever watch a Danielle Collins match, by the way, Kelly?
Mm-hmm. Feisty.
Oh, if you're against her, you hate her, right? She's just so funny. But if you're on her, oh, my God, you love back.
Retiring?
She's retiring. She says she's retiring. It's her greatest year ever.
That's a shame.
A lot of folks.
She's workshopping a new fist pump where she, like, pulls it back in. She's just the most intense player you'll see in
workshopping
any sport.
Workshopping. We'll see how it goes for her. See if that brings her back into the game. Dominic Thiem is retiring. Camila Giorgi just retired. A whole bunch of players. All right, Zag, any French Open plays before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough tournament to handicap, which is funny because we're doing a French Open guide this year, and it'll be out on either Monday or Tuesday. So it picked a good year for that with everybody injured. But I do think Iga on the women's side, that's where I'm going to go with it. And I think on the men's side, maybe just kind of sprinkle the board with, you know, Casper Ruud, Stefanos Tsitsipas. I could even be talked into Daniil Medvedev at 20-1, and, you know, just because of what we're seeing on the men's side with injuries. I guess I do think that if we hear some positive stuff out of the Alcaraz camp, like, maybe I'll take a bite at +200, but it's a little bit hard knowing that he might not be able to rip that forehand.
Yeah, and I still think Djokovic is the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. Like, I just think he is laying low. And, yes, he was hit with a stray water bottle on his head, and then he had that just a completely uneven performance against Tabilo. But that's not enough for me to just take him off the board for me. We'll see.
I think what I'm nervous about with Djokovic is that he fired Ivan Isovich or parted ways, whatever it was, and now the hold percentage is down at 83%. Ivan Isovich has been credited with getting that hold percentage up, with reworking that serve, and I wonder if it's something where, you know, that serve motion was hurting his elbow or something like that that we just don't really know. I just think that might not be a coincidence that the serve hasn't been as good since he changed coaches.
Yeah, could be. Could very well be. All right, so here's the deal. And again, a men's side that has injuries with Sinner, with Alcaraz. We don't know if Nadal's playing, so it's never been this much up in the air as, you know, as it has been for years now. NBA, last night, Celtics get the gentleman sweep against the Cavs. Amazing that ended up, like, right on the number after the Cavs looked like they might even be able to pull off an upset at one point. And then, of course, we had the, you know, series that I just cannot wrap my arms around. The Mavericks take the 3-2 lead in the best of seven series against the Thunder as they take home court back now, headed to game 6 in Dallas. They win it 104-92 yesterday as 4.5-point dogs. We have the Nuggets and the T-Wolves game 6 back in Minnesota tonight, where the T-Wolves are 2.5-point favorites. And then we got game 6 back in Indiana tomorrow night, where the Pacers are trying to force a game 7. They're 5.5-point favorites against the Knicks. Any thoughts on Denver and Minnesota tonight, or the Knicks and the Pacers tomorrow, let alone game 6, I should say, between the Mavs and the Thunder?
Well, I will just say I was Mavs before the series, thought they were going to win the series when they took one of those games on the road. And then I kind of changed my mind after I saw what we saw in game 4. But now I really regret it, because I just don't think that Oklahoma City is capable of scoring on this Dallas team. So I do think the Mavericks will get it done in game 6 now. But I have been flip-flopping on that series. Can't get a read on it either. But I do think tonight it's really tempting to take the Nuggets at plus money, almost too tempting. I think the way I'm going to go at it is I'm going to take the team total over 101.5. That way I'm protected in case, you know, the Timberwolves offense does show up in this game. But I do think it's not a fluke that Denver has figured out the Minnesota defense. They really have no answer for Joker, whether it's his, you know, scoring or facilitating. So I do think that at the very least, even if Denver does lose tonight, they'll put up at least 102 points.
You have conviction on any of those three, Kelly? Any of them?
I did bet the Mavs for the closeout game after last night. I think that's, you know, as you brought up, Zach, I think from the Mavericks side of things, of just what's been most impressive so far really has been the defense. I don't know about everybody else. Sure felt like I was watching a very different Luka Doncic last night. If he'd been riding on the good stuff through four games, he got the better stuff for game five.
The good stuff.
Yeah, he was looking a little bit more like Luka Doncic.
Yeah. All right, Zach, I didn't think we would be talking about this today, but you have a thought on the number one pick in the NBA draft, June 29th.
Yeah, I wish it was a really strong thought. I mean, I do think that Alex Saar being the favorite to go number one is probably right. He's right about minus 220 right now. But I do think that Donovan Klingon at 14-1 is something that should be considered. And it kind of depends on how much say you think that Quinn Snyder has within the Hawks organization. But, you know, I know that we're seeing a lot of slander for Rudy Gobert, but I do think that Klingon can come in and make a Rudy Gobert-like impact relatively quickly. I think he's probably one of the best interior defenders in this draft. I just think right away he could come in and kind of anchor a Hawks defense that has been miserable with Trae Young at point guard. And if they do keep Trae Young around, I think they really need to strongly consider bringing Klingon in. I think that this is obviously, you know, a time where we're not seeing traditional centers going number one anymore. You have to have kind of that inside and out ability on offense. But I do think that in a draft that is viewed as really weak, getting a guy with all defensive potential at number one might be something that they could consider, especially, yeah, for a coach that coached the Jazz, coached a team that had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert to a lot of success in a tough Western Conference. So I just think it's something that's going to be considered. And I also think Klingon, you know, it's the NBA combine, take it for what it's worth. He has shown the ability to kind of step out and make some threes.
All right, there's a thought. Donovan Klingon, 14-1. The third shortest shot, if you will, behind the two Frenchmen, Alexander Saar and Zachary Risacher, who are both close to, well, I should say Saar is the favorite now, minus 210. He's taking some money. Risacher is at plus 210, but Klingon, 14-1. I misspoke. I said June 29th. It's actually June 27th.
How dare
for the NBA draft. Pardon me.
For people that are, you know, probably unaware, Zach does, one of the guys who does a lot of the international scouting work throughout the offseason and during the season. So a man who knows a thing or two about this.
Who's the best international player of the bunch, Zach, in your opinion?
I think Topic is going to be really good. There's some concerns about his jumper, but I think he's unbelievable.
Nikola Topic.
He's going to be
get ready.
Jokic, Topic. Let's go.
We have a Nikola Jokic, a Nikola Jovic, and now we will have a Nikola Topic. That'll be fun. Zach, thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck today, man.
Thanks, guys.
We'll come back. We'll update the PGA where Xander is doing his thing because, of course, it's the first round.
What, he lost?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Few things are as rewarding as winning the big game, but rewards from America's number one nicotine pouch comes close. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free, and can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Plus, every can earns you points towards 70-plus premium rewards items. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
That's breaking news right there at the end. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D. We get tweets at Biddy the Book. Beyond the Amys and the Elizabeths, we also get tweets. This is from James Sott. I was almost forced to make a choice no person should ever have to make. Do I watch Iga or do I watch Gil? But wait, I can do both. Thank you, technology. Thank God for technology. I am following Iga Swiatek's score against Corey Gauff right now. And Coco is up a break in the first set there in Italy, in Rome. This is from Just to Follow VSiN. Guys, I'll back the Chargers religiously this year. You guys can take the year off.
Oh, thanks. You're
Thank
the guy.
You, Just yes. to Follow.
Yeah, I get to pass the baton on this year.
Thank you, Just to Follow VSiN.
I don't know who I took it from the year before, but they Matt or someone.
I had
you,
a year.
Or you had him. Okay, yeah. So it all gets passed down. Yep.
Bill Hooker. I wonder if producers 1-8 are offended they weren't referred to as so much more than a producer. It's a great question. Jeff Parles, I called the Grover Cleveland of producers.
Yeah, because they all had
he was
their own
5 or 8.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't know what Mundaka was.
Yeah. Jeffrey did have that special distinction, though.
He was like, the Grover Cleveland of producers. Yeah. That's right. Oh, there were so many. Everybody had their tagline.
Yeah.
Jason Kahn, I'm not sure what his was either. Somebody had something. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, regarding AL Cy Young, wondering what your thoughts are. The current odds on Scoble, the leader, he's never thrown more than 150 innings. Could we see a stud closer like Mason Miller or Clay Holmes snag the award? Thoughts? This comes up every once in a while. Mason Miller, of course, of the Athletics, I talked about when he was first facing the Yankees this year, and he was just mowing down Aaron Judge at 102. He's like, here's 102 in your face. See if you can hit it, Aaron Judge. And I'm telling you, the Yankees looked at him like, who are you and how quickly can we acquire you? But the answer to your question, Nevada Azer, is very simple. There's only been 10 relievers to have won a Cy Young Award, American League or National League, 10 in history. And keep in mind, those are two every year, so 10 is not that much in the aggregate. And the last relief pitchers to have won the Heisman, did I say the Heisman? The Cy Young. Eric,
yeah, who won that?
The last reliever to win the Heisman, you may not know about this. Eric Gagne, 2003 with the Dodgers, famously. Eck won it with the Athletics in 1992, and then I think we had Mark Davis in 89 with the Padres, Steve Bedrosian in 87 with the Phillies, Willie Hernandez before that in 84. 84, we actually had... Oh, we had 84, we had Hernandez with the Raleigh Fingers in 81. You get the idea. It doesn't happen that often. And it hasn't happened since Gagne, a juiced-up Gagne, won in 2003. So the answer to your question is, I wouldn't bet it. It makes for a great conversation. We talk about it year after year. Remember, it was a Zach Britton year. We talked about it as well. But you don't get any extra dollars for the hero points of being the guy to hit it when it finally does.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, with snark. I'm just saying it's just kind of how it is.
Right.
So I wouldn't bet it.
I mean, it's how many awards do we talk about, right? Where it's, hey, the best that we can do sometimes is lay out what the track record's been of how voters have looked in the past, right? And, you know, at the end of the day, you're betting on what other voters think and not what actually gets decided on a field.
It's hard enough. Let's put it this way, Nevada Azer. It's hard enough to win on these awards when we're right about who we're voting on,
right,
and it still doesn't win.
That's kind of why I'm breaking it up.
Yeah.
Can I quick sidebar real quick? Maybe this is a news story that everybody knows about, but if you know me at all, I just things go over my head like, you know, crazy.
No.
Have you caught this portal thing they set up in New York City between like New York City and Dublin? It's like a video portal, so you could see like I don't know where they put it in New York City, but it'd be a group of people in New York City. You can see into Dublin on the other side, and it's video set up somehow, and it's just a big portal where you can see the other side, okay? Of course, what went wrong with it? Like, everybody ended up screwing around with him, was, like, flashing the other side and everything like that. Apparently, they shut it down after it lasted a week.
What do you mean a portal, though?
It's a video portal. So, like, you could walk up to it, and I can see, like, people in Dublin on the other side watching me in New York City.
Okay.
So, like, of course, everybody just ended up screwing around with each other, and they had to shut the whole thing down.
How's that different than cameras being set up?
I mean, that's what... It's just a ring of cameras, basically.
Oh, I'm assuming. I don't know. Yeah. It's a little update on Dublin portal.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of things that I mean to talk to you about on air and then I inevitably forget.
That's what I've meant to bring this up like three times.
Here are two random things. Yeah. One, do you have a thought on Grant Hill as a color commentator?
Yeah, he's very okay.
That's exactly my point. Grant Hill, who, by the way, we should all be so lucky to be Grant Hill. Super successful parents. He himself, one of the great basketball players of his generation before he got hurt, as good looking as can be.
Mm-hmm.
Just every good, beautiful wife and family. He's got everything going for him.
I met him once in person. He was a great guy.
He's the nicest human being on earth. I hate to say anything bad about Grant Hill, but he says nothing. It's like he wants to say words. Like it's on a word count, and he says nothing during these games. The other thing is the Patrick Beverley thing. Remember you and I talked about this off air. So after the Bucks get eliminated by the Pacers, he throws the ball at the woman. They give the ball back to him, and he throws it again.
Yep.
Remember what you asked me off air? You go, how long do you think he'll be suspended for? Do you remember what my answer was?
I don't know.
I said half a season.
Yep.
You know how many games he got suspended
for?
Four games! How many times on this show have I said... Adam Silver just wants to be friends with the player.
Okay, so like this is I don't know anything. I wonder though. As soon as I saw that come down, my guess, automatic guess, is that there was a conversation between Beverly and the front office, with the league office, and it was like, hey, Are you really planning on playing too much longer? Like, as I think if he was like, oh, yeah, I'm coming back for sure, you know, going to enter training camp, going to be playing a full year next year, I think they would have suspended.
Oh, so you don't think he's playing?
I think he's going to hang up after this.
I'm not sure that's the point, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
PGA at Valhalla in Louisville, Xander Schauffele, because of course he's leading. You know why? Because it's Thursday. Xander Schauffele, who, by the way, I shouldn't say that because he's had 54 hole leads of late. He's 4 under through 8. He's got a one shot lead. My leaderboard is a bit.
My mind just jumped too. Actually, yeah, I think it's a 1 shot lead over Doug Gim, Jordan Spieth, Tony Finau, and Dean Burmeister.
That's correct. Burmeister from South Africa. One stroke lead over Gim, Spieth, Finau, and Burmeister, as you said, and a 2 stroke lead over Luke Donald, Lucas Herbert, Ryan Fox. A whole bunch of names, including Rory McIlroy and Hideki Matsuyama and Victor Hovland, 2 strokes back amongst the bigger group. So
okay,
that's
Gil,
where it is right now.
I like seeing Xander at the top, but here's what's going to happen. Keith Mitchell's going to tee off in a couple hours, soar to the top of the leaderboard, hit my 125-1 first-round leader bet, and then he's going to go away probably.
Homa and Koepka among those three back? Scotty Scheffler has not teed off yet. Now, ask me if I'm already regretting that I don't have a bet on Scheffler, even though he hasn't even teed off yet. The answer is yes.
As I was going through my golf stuff yesterday, I was like, make sure to ask Gil if he's bet anything, because I haven't talked to him on or off air about him having a bet yet.
I am going to do the thing I do with Scheffler, which is I'm just going to sit here and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And if he starts to play great, I immediately jump in because I can't take it anymore.
What was that, Masters Friday?
Masters Friday.
Yeah, that was a great bet.
I bet him aggressively after that.
Because you started it like a little over 2-1, right? When he was making that charge?
Plus 270 or something, yeah. And then there was another tournament where I waited and then bet him as well. And so that's worked out for me. So we can talk all these golf bets, but I'll just do the Scheffler thing here. But that's where it is right now.
Oh, I got outright wiggle room this week too. I mean, I'll probably be in that camp with you, my friend.
But that's a pretty good leaderboard we just talked about. I mean, Shoffley's up there, Spieth, Finau, McIlroy, Matsuyama, Hovland, Koepka, Homa, all within 3 strokes. And you were saying, we were talking about this also, the Luke Donald, the one Michael Block head-to-head there was Luke Donald, -172 over Michael Block, and within two holes,
he had a seven-stroke lead, I think I'm pulling it up right now.
Two under versus 6 over, I thought.
1 under versus 6 over, so seven strokes. Yeah. I texted Will immediately. I was like, oh, 2 holes in, it's looking pretty good. Never made that bet.
Cannot believe that was last year. We'll talk more NFL schedule here. I just want to point out again we talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier, the gauntlet, their last 8 games. Few others again that are several other teams that have been listed as the hardest schedules. Patriots start with at Cincinnati, home Seattle, at the Jets, at the Niners, home Miami, home Houston, at Jacksonville, home Jets. Oh, my God. So Patriots, who are not supposed to be good at football to begin with Drake May perhaps the starter. We'll see if it's Jacoby Brissett or Drake May. Your first 8 games are brutality. So maybe there's an opportunity, conversely, to bet the Patriots over after that. But if you're betting an under, bet it quick.
Yeah, this was maybe the team I was most eager to see what the win total was set at, because I wanted to go under, but man, is it low.
They also close at Buffalo, Chargers, Buffalo. So 2 games against the Bills in 3 weeks at the end. I mean, Steelers, horrible final 8, but the Patriots are just brutalized from the beginning. We'll get to the Browns, Ravens, and Vikings. They have hard schedules, and Steve Fezzik's Week 1 plays coming up as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use promo code VSiNHorse. It's all one word, VSiN Horse. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses and watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app now. Why don't you? It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Preakness. Preakness Stakes on Saturday. Second leg of the Triple Crown. Mystic Dan trying to keep his Triple Crown hopes alive.
Eight horse field now?
Is it 8 now?
Yeah. I think we're down to 8.
We're down to 8? Wow.
Mystic Dam plus 180. Tuscan Gold 4-1. Just Steel 10-1.
Tomorrow on the show, Peter Fornital will give his Preakness thoughts as well. No Muth, that's the big thing.
No Muth.
No Muth.
And
yeah, we're down to 8 horses. You are correct.
Especially since I actually won a few bucks on Mystic Dan, I will absolutely be betting Mugatu at 50-1 because I just don't know how, if you've seen Zoolander, you're not betting on Mugatu.
Mugatu is the long shot.
Yes, he is.
34.5-1.
Probably can't run.
The horse, so again, let's do this. Because we always talk about this after the fact with horse racing. Like, the horse that no one talked about before the Derby won at Mystic Dan. The biggest, I would say, just anecdotally, the horses that we hear most folks talking about are Tuscan Gold and Catching Freedom. Would you agree with that? Tuscan Gold,
well,
for sure.
As always with the Preakness, I'm not hearing nearly as much talk as I heard 2 weeks ago. But yes, those are the two. I would say those are the two horses I have heard.
And still not a lot of love for Mystic Dan, even though he's a short shot now.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out what Fornital has to say tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to go horse racing guy there for a second, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Really?
I just like the way he rode the rail, though, Gil. Like, we're talking a shorter race now. Like, why not Mystic Dan?
That's about as good analysis I've heard.
Why not Mystic Dan?
You ever been to the Pimlico? Have you been to the Preakness?
I haven't been to any of the Triple
Crown. You're the perfect Preakness person.
Yeah.
You in the infield, just plant a flag, take your land.
So I will go at one point because somebody I used to work with, who I will not name, he said I would not make it out of the infield alive.
Matt Brown.
And I was like, I will take that challenge, sir. I will take that challenge.
I had some friends who barely made it out of the infield alive back in the day.
Just like anybody Bills Mafia out there tailgating, I will take that challenge. I'm not jumping onto tables or anything.
Kelly, what if I told you that Phil Swift had an entire music video for Flex Seal in which he plays every instrument? What if I told you that?
I'd say we just watched it during the break.
It's a 30 for 30 in the making right there.
It's incredible.
All right, back to the NFL schedule, and this is going to be throughout the show. We started heavy on this. But again, for those of you who missed the beginning, really what the NFL schedule release is for bettors is we already knew who the opponents were for each of these teams based on their finishing position last year. What we learned yesterday was the sequencing of those opponents. So we've already talked about the 5 easiest schedules. We've talked about a couple of the hardest, including the Steelers, who have the worst 8-game gauntlet to finish their schedule that I have ever seen. Few more that are considered the toughest schedules. The Cleveland Brownies. Browns week 6 through 8 is their week 6 through 8, and then their close are the tough parts. Week 6 through 8, it's at Philly, home Cincy, home Baltimore. Of course, they play in the AFC North, so it's going to be tough. And then they close with at Denver, elevation, at Pittsburgh, division team, KC at Cincy, Miami at Baltimore. So the Browns definitely have a couple spots that you have to navigate. And again, when it comes to your bets, keep those stretches in mind and bet accordingly. Ravens, also an AFC North team, they start difficult at Kansas City, home Vegas, but then it's at Dallas, home Buffalo, at Cincy. They also have a tough stretch week 10 through 13 where they've got Cincy at home, at Pittsburgh, division rival, at the Chargers and Philly. So again, with the Ravens and the Browns, just know where those two parts of their schedules are. And then the other one, considered one of the top 5 hardest, is the Vikings. And Kelly, we don't know if J.J. McCarthy will start from the beginning of the season or not, but weeks 2 through 8 with a bye thrown in there. Weeks 2 through 8 are San Francisco at home, Houston at home, at Green Bay. One of those is a international game, by the way. Jets at home, then the bye, Detroit at home, at the Rams.
Jets, London.
Jets is the London game. Still, San Francisco at home, Houston at home, at Green Bay, Jets in London, by Detroit at the Rams. So that's a brutal schedule early for the Minnesota Vikings.
The only thing it does, though, isn't that like the obvious, okay, here's where J.J. McCarthy comes in?
Yeah, that is a great call also. If you wanted to play it that way, if you were the Vikings brass, if you were Kevin O'Connell and you're like, well, let's let him ease into this, then maybe you do wait till week number 9. But in this day and age, do you wait till week number 9? I don't know that you do.
Unfortunately, I actually don't know if the opponent matters as much. It's just, don't we almost always see this during the bye week now?
Or after the bye.
Yeah, that's like right after the bye. So I know it's Lions next up, which is not ideal for his first start, but I mean, just looking at, that was my, when I saw their schedule, that was the first thing I thought was, okay, J.J. McCarthy, week 6.
Here are some other little scheduling quirks from yesterday. Cowboys, 6 out of their last 9 games are at home. Of course they are.
How's that thing swung, right? When they first opened the stadium, weren't they terrible at home? And now it's like swung back the other way where they've been pretty good at home the past few, couple years.
Six out of their last nine at home. Bills, Browns, Bears, and Vikings, we already highlighted a couple of these, all have three in a row on the road at some point. Colts, this is from our buddy Warren Sharp. Remember, Warren Sharp used to come on this show all the time. Warren does a great job with schedules. He was talking about how the Colts' schedule to start the year is brutal, but after that, it's the easiest schedule down the stretch of the season. So the Colts are super easy late.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
Bills don't really get to take advantage of their cold weather. All of the dome teams they play after week one are all on the road, and they have zero home games after the beginning of December versus warm weather teams. So they don't really get the advantage of their cold weather advantage.
I think Larry and I were talking a little bit before the show about that because he's a big Dolphins fan. It's very tough with some of these teams to I think making the schedules, I'm sure, is very difficult on its own.
Sure.
But then you have to take things into account, right? Like Larry does our graphics here. He's a big Dolphins fan. And you know, like living down in South Florida was always a discussion every year of, okay, Dolphins either get, you know, either kind of get screwed or get lucky of who do they get early in the hot weather or late in the season when they've got to go into snow, right? Like you hope it's kind of balanced and not.
Miami had to go to Buffalo late almost like every year of my childhood.
Yep.
It appeared that way.
I mean, look, they've got, you're going to be at Cleveland, at New York to close out the season.
Yeah.
Throw in, you know, at the Packers on Thanksgiving.
Jets, so we already talked about how one of the easiest schedules. They have the number one best net rest edge in the entire NFL.
Okay.
Key rest edges in all four of their late season divisional games, that courtesy of Warren Sharp. From October, this was last year that they had the best net edge. I'm sorry. Last year they had the number one best net rest edge. And they had, like, from October 5th through November 12th, they never left home. Well, they have one of the five easy schedules, as we went through earlier on the show. They also have this weird quirk. They have six primetime games in the first 11 weeks of the season, which Warren says has never happened before.
Oh, my gosh.
Niners Monday night week one, Patriots Thursday night week three, Monday night against the Bills week six, at the Steelers Sunday night week seven, Texans Thursday night week nine, and then the Colts Sunday night week 11.
Oof.
Aaron Rodgers force-fed to all of them.
Yeah, force-fed. Wow, that is incredible.
And then the last thing from Warren, he did the five easiest and five toughest for the first. We talked about it at aggregate for the whole season, but he did the five easiest for the first 5 weeks of the season and the five toughest. Five easiest, Jets, which we went through, Niners, Seahawks, Bears, and Dolphins. We went through a bunch of those. And then five toughest to start, Tennessee, Kansas City, New England, Jacksonville, and the hardest of all of them, Baltimore, first 5 weeks, which we went through as well. So, if you're into the early weighting of
how much do you factor in? Because we bring it up every year. I think it's something to be aware of. I always find it interesting, though, when it comes person to person. How much do you factor in the rest advantage stuff when you're looking at season-long bets? How much do you factor in the three
it's
on
a great
the road,
question.
Three at home?
I am aware of it. Has it nudged me over on a bet? Probably not. Has it given me pause and taken me off a bet? Yes. Does that make sense?
I think you summed it up perfectly. If I had to, speaking for myself, I think I would say answer the exact same
way. Yeah. It's enough to give you pause. But
enough to hold you off a bet. I don't know that I've ever seen that in run to make a bet on a team because of that.
And then do we have enough time for this or should we wait on Steve Fezzik? Steve Fezzik, week one. You ready for this?
Yeah, we can.
Let's wait for it.
Because we'll go through week one lines.
We got week one lines. So we'll go through Steve Fezzik's bet. And then he has just general thoughts about when you should be betting unders and overs and all this stuff.
Well, Steve will be in tomorrow. We can talk a lot about it.
And he'll be in tomorrow.
How about three? We've got like three segments in a row tomorrow. Matt Grissom at the Shield talking college baseball in town. And then Stevie Fezzik here last two.
At the Shield, baby.
At the Shield.
All right, and we'll do that a little later on the show. But Nick Whalen on the NBA on the other side. Jonathan Davis on the NHL. Adam Burke will join us as well. Packed second hour. The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, coming up.